Let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful, wonderful book you've given us. Thank you for this church which has stood true through these years to thy word. Thank you for a man of God who preaches the word. Thank you for songs and singing about the word. Just thank you for that which you've given us today. And we thank you in advance for what you've prepared for us, because we know that we need what you have for us and what you've given our preacher to give to us today. And so help us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I knew where she was going, but I was worried she wouldn't get there. Then when she got there, I was afraid she wouldn't stay there. And then after she stayed there, I was afraid she wouldn't leave. Always worries me when these sopranos go way, way up there. And especially when... Anyway, I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the happiest man in the Bible. If I talked to you on the happiest man in the world, it'd be a personal testimony. But I want to talk to you this morning on the happiest man in the Bible. I did a little... made a little survey not long ago. I asked the preachers, I asked 12 preachers, where the scripture was first mentioned. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, or imputeth not iniquity. And every one of them said, Book of Romans. But you know, we forget that the Old Testament is a doctrinal book also. And the first time that doctrinal Romans-like statement is made is by the happiest man in the Bible, David. He said, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom, and I hardly can read this verse without having to spell. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I want to talk to you on the subject, the happiest man in the Bible. Our Father, I really want to be a blessing today. I want to be a blessing to the extent that our people will be happy in spite of instead of happy because of. I think about that one that has what seems to be terminal cancer. I pray that person shall leave a happy person. I pray for those families today who are brokenhearted because of wayward children. I pray that today they'll leave happy because of the blessings of God. I pray for those today who have empty places at the table, or maybe a dear husband or wife has been taken to heaven, they're lonely, or maybe they've been forsaken by a mate. I pray they shall leave today happy people. Bless our service. Amen. David said in Psalm 71:14, he said, I will praise, listen to me now, I will praise thee more and more. When I first started preaching, I was a loud mouth. I've not always been this dignified. When I first started preaching, people used to say to me, Brother House, you'll calm down as you get older. And it just hasn't worked that way for me. I've sort of calmed up as I've gotten older. I used to read about David saying, I'll praise thee more and more. As David got older, he praised the Lord more. In fact, if you read the last five Psalms, you'll find that David use the word praise more in the last five Psalms than probably any 25 Psalms anywhere else. In the last Psalm, Psalm 150, 13 times the word praise is used. In the 149th Psalm, I think it is 6 times the word praise is used. In the 148th Psalm, the 11 times I think it is the word praise is used. I think one of the things wrong with our independent fundamental Baptist churches, listen to me now, we've lost our shout. We've lost our glory. We've lost our praise. We've lost our hallelujah. We've left it up to the charismatics to shout, and they don't have half as much to shout about as we do. They who have nothing to shout about, shout. We who have everything to shout about, don't shout. I was in a church not long ago, I think I may have mentioned this, and I got to thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 while I was on the platform waiting to be introduced. And I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about these verses, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And here we go again. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. You understand what that means? That means God not only has forgiven my sins, forgotten my sins, justified me as if I'd never sinned, but God has taken my sins off his record and blotted them out, but he won't even write the new ones on my record either, because they're all written to Jesus' record. And I got thinking about that before I was preaching. And not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ, and here's what really got me up excited. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. And I got sitting up here thinking, I'm about to stand up here in Christ's stead. As though God were speaking, I'm about to speak. And I got in a spell mood up here on the platform before I was praying. And I said to the pastor, having to sing another song, I've got a spell coming on. And I had to leave, honestly, scout's honor, across my heart and hope of the coast and dies. I honestly had to leave the service and go out behind the service and have a spell. The people thought I'd gone to the washroom. But the pastor got up, and he was worried. He thought I was having one of my memory lapses, and he said, pray for the house. He's out there having a spell. And I was just praising God because I represent Jesus Christ. And as God did beseech you by us, we beseech you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Now, what man in the Bible was the happiest man? You know who it was. It was David. He was the happiest man in the Bible. I mentioned a while ago, you compare his latter Psalms to his first Psalms, and you'll find that David got happier and happier and happier and happier. Now, why was David happy? I'm going to give you 7 reasons that are listed in our Psalm. We'll not turn to the Psalm again, but I'm going to give you 7 reasons. And brother, all of these reasons ought to make any Christian happy. And one is, David said, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Did you hear what I said? I mean, God, David said, God has forgiven my sins. I'm going to have I need some help, fellas. And sorry to mess up the checker game up there. But David said, my sins are forgiven. Now, hey, sit there a while and rejoice about that. Your sins are forgiven. Yeah, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden in my heart rolled away. Don't just sit there, feel something. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Gone, 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 gone. Yeah, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Hey, that's good enough for me. I'm going to live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. And David said, that makes me happy. And he goes on to say, not only that, but my sins are covered. They're blotted out. They are taken out of God's book. God didn't take a pen and scratch them out. God didn't take an eraser and erase them out. He took his own blood and blotted my sins out of his book. Did you hear me? Not a single sin that I've committed. Well, I haven't committed any, but if I ever do. Not a single sin I've ever committed is recorded in heaven on my record. If you went up there this morning, you looked up the letter H-Y-L-E-S, you'd say, boy, Ivan O'Hiles got a lot of things on his record. Not a single record sin is recorded. And David said, that makes me happy. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm 75 years old. Well, good night. That means you've had more time to sin longer than the rest of us had. You got more sin. That's one reason why I'm happier than you are, because I've sinned more than you have. Not as much per square day, but I've had longer to do it. And, of course, I can't enjoy it, my age of many sins as you can, but David said, he said, my sins are forgiven. And then he said, they're blotted out. They're not even written in God's book. But that isn't all he said. He said, I'm justified.
David is saying here, God, I'm just like having sin. Listen, if I, for these 67 years and 10 months, if I could have lived a perfect life, now almost have, but I haven't quite, but if I could have lived a perfect life all these years, and there was not one single sin ever recorded against me in heaven, that's exactly the way my record looks this morning. I mean, not only David said, am I forgiven of my sins, and my sins are blotted out of the book, but it is not that God says, okay, I forgive your sins, but it's as if I'd never sinned at all. And David said, that isn't all that makes me happy. He said, my sins are forgotten. He said, God has Alzheimer's disease when it concerns my sins. If you ask, if you could go ask, we go ahead and ask him. Ask God, what sins I've committed. God will say, I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm saying, and David said, my sins are forgiven. My sins are blotted out. My sins, I'm justified. My sins are forgotten. My sins are covered. But he goes on to say in verse 2 there, one of the great statements in all the Bible, he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. If I commit a sin, it's not even written down against my record. All these people that say, someday God's going to flash a screen and all your sins are going to be up there, all hogwash. My sins are recorded against Jesus Christ's record, and they've been paid for on Calvary, paid in full. And God, oh, you don't misunderstand me now. I may have to suffer on earth if I eat green apples. I may get a stomachache, but God didn't write in heaven he ate green apples. I'm saying, David said, my sins are forgiven. They're blotted out. I'm justified. God has forgotten my sins. My sins are covered. The Lord will not impute my sin. But he goes farther than that. Not only did God not impute my sin, but he imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record. That's what it talks about in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God officially is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. Not only, you say, well, how does that mean that your record in heaven is blank? All your sins gone? No, it was blank for a while, but then God went down and placed all the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record. And David said, I think I'll have a spell. And he shouted and praised God. But now, wait a minute. Let's examine this fellow for a minute. Let's examine this fellow's life. In the first place, three times a king tried to kill him. Three times Saul tried to kill David. This man was a fugitive from justice. O.J. David. The king said, I'll kill him. And David said, oh boy, that's bad. But he looked over here and he said, good night, my sins are still forgiven. My sins are still blotted out. My sins are still covered. I'm still justified. What I'm trying to say is, why don't you quit looking at the circumstances of life and look at your standing before God Almighty? And Saul tried to kill him again. And David said, Saul trying to kill me. And David didn't look at the circumstances. He looked at the fact his sins were forgiven. His sins were covered. His sins were blotted out. He was justified. God did not impute his sins against him. And God recorded the righteousness of Jesus against him. And David, dodging the javelin of King Saul, said, well, praise God anyhow. That isn't all. For 2 to 3 years, David was a fugitive from justice. Ran for his life. 2 to 3 years, he was on the run. Listen to me, all the time. That isn't all. David, his best friend, was killed in a battle. In all the Bible, apart from Jesus Christ himself, you have no closer friendship than that of David and Jonathan. Now, folks, when your best friend dies, that means going to the funeral home. That means going to the funeral. That means walking by and looking at his body in the casket. But here is a man who the king tried to kill three times. Here was a man, 2 or 3 years, he ran from the king as a fugitive, and his best friend Jonathan was killed in a battle. And David didn't say, well, I tell you, I've just got more burdens I can bear. No, sir. David said, well, praise God. My sins are forgiven. My sins are covered. My sins are blotted out. I'm justified. My name is written in heaven. He will not impute my sins against me. And he imputes the righteousness of Jesus to my record. And David, listen, I promise you today, there are burdens all over this house. I could close my eyes and point most anywhere in this house. I know you. 147 of you folks a week come to my office door and come inside my office on average for the last many years. 147. I know your burdens. I know your heartaches. I told somebody the other day, or maybe this morning, I could write a book that would break your heart every week of my life about the heartaches that these shoulders help to bear. Every week, I know your burdens, I know your heartache, but I also know something else, that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Quit looking at your heartaches and look at your record in heaven. Amen. David, this happiest man in the whole world, had every reason in the world not to be happy. Three times Saul tried to kill him. A fugitive for 2 to 3 years. His best friend killed in battle. But that isn't all. His son Ammon raped his daughter Tamar. Hey, wait a minute. Well, listen to me. His son Ammon raped his daughter Tamar. Well, David, didn't that take your joy? No, sir. My sins are still forgiven. Look, why don't you make your joy on things that don't change instead of things that do change? Friends change. Loved ones change. Circumstances change. Conditions change. But brother, the record in heaven where God has given me the righteousness of Jesus never changes. That isn't all. Three times attempted murder by the king. A fugitive 2 to 3 years. His best friend killed in battle. His son Ammon raped his daughter Tamar. That isn't all. Another son, Absalom, got so angry because his sister had been raped by his half-brother that one of David's sons murdered his other son. And yet, in spite of it, David kept on praising God. Look, three times he dodged the bullet. 2 to 3 years running. Even country to country and city to city, running from Saul for his life. His best friend killed in battle. His daughter raped by his son. His son killed his son. The happiest man in the world went through these circumstances. Now you listen to me. People say, Brother Hiles, how can you be so happy? You ask that woman right there if I'm happy or not. You ask that girl back there, our daughter, if I'm happy or not. You ask her husband if I'm happy or not. Well, he makes me unhappy, but you ask him if I'm happy or not. You ask my deacons if I'm happy or not. You ask the church here if I'm happy or not. But you say, preacher, you've got burdens and problems. Well, everybody has burdens and problems, but I'm not looking at my burdens. I'm looking at my record. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And he holds me fast. I'm justified. Don't just sit there. Have a spell. My sins are forgiven. They're covered. They're blotted out. They're justified. I'm justified. He won't record my sins against me. And the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ is on my record today. That's why I'm happy. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Not me, buddy. It's not him that makes me happy or unhappy. It makes me mad sometimes, but not happy. What makes me happy, brothers, are things that never change. My sins are blotted out and they'll stay blotted out. And all. Three times Saul tried to kill him. A fugitive, 2 to 3 years. His best friend killed in battle. His son raped, listen to me, his son raped his daughter. A son killed a son. Now wait a minute, folks. He went to funeral service and sat down. He went to the funeral service and sat there in the funeral service beside a murderer at the corpse of his other son. I mean, here he is, got one son that's a murderer and one son that's dead at the hands of the other son. How you feel, David? I think I'll just praise God. Praise God. What for? My sins are forgiven. My sins are covered. My sins are blotted out. My sins are justified. I'm justified. He will not impute sin against me. And the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, I am so sick and tired of griping Christians, I don't know what to do. I decided I'm going to go through life not knowing what's going wrong. I get up here above everybody else. I go around the country and people say, how's the battle? I don't know how the battle is. People around the country know how the battle is. I don't know. I know one thing. My sins are forgiven. I know another thing. They're blotted out of God's record. I know another thing. I'm justified. I know another thing. He will not impute sin against my record. I know another thing. The personal righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's enough joy to keep me happy in spite of all the burdens and heartaches. That isn't all. The son that killed the brother stole the hearts of David's people. Rebellious. Stole the hearts of the people of King David. That isn't all. That son rebelled against King David and declared war on his dad and had a revolution and tried to take over his dad's throne. And here's David out here in a little place called Mahanaim. He left the throne. He left Jerusalem. He left the palace. He left his crown, left his scepter, left his royal robe. He's out here in Mahanaim. The dust of battle back there is waging. And his own son is fighting against his forces. What does David do? Picks up his pen and writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He wrote that when his son was over there fighting against his own forces and he thought the throne wasn't his. You know why? Because the throne of David is not the throne of Israel is not what made David happy. And the crown of Israel did not make David happy. And the scepter of Israel did not make David happy. And the royal robe of the king did not make David happy. Well, what made David happy? His sins were still forgiven. His sins were still blotted out. His sins were still removed. He was still justified. God still would not impute sin against him. And God still imputed the righteousness of his own son on David's record. And David could sit out there in the lonely place of rejection and shout, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. And don't you sit there and criticize me for tipping across the platform. And don't you sit there and say, I'm a fanatic. No, you're the strange one. If your sins are forgiven, act like they're forgiven. If your name is written in heaven, act like your name is written in heaven. Oh, praise God today. David, happiest man in the whole world. That and all. When that war was going on, his friend of a lifetime, Ahithophel, turned on him. Read the psalm sometime where Ahithophel, his best friend, turned on him. Three times, Saul tried to kill him. 2 to 3 years, a fugitive. Best friend killed in battle. Son raped a daughter. Son killed a son. Son won the hearts of his people. A son led in revolution trying to overthrow his dad from the throne. Now, his best friend or the friend of a lifetime, his counselor, Ahithophel, forsook him. People sometimes say, Brother House, haven't you had some friends forsake you? No,
You can't do that. But I've got a friend that never will forsake me. I think I'll just keep my eyes on him instead of people that maybe might disappoint me. David, you must be awful blue, melancholy, depressed. All these things have happened in your life. No, sir, he's the happiest man in the entire Bible. Why? Because his sins are still forgiven. His sins are still covered. He's still justified. His sins are still blotted out. God still will not impute sin against him, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is recorded on his record. And David is still happy. That isn't all. The ones he had done the most for forsook him. Shimei. Mephibosheth, that little crippled boy, brought to the palace, made his one of David's sons. Didn't deserve a thing David gave him. Mephibosheth didn't go with him when he had to leave the throne, leave the palace, and leave the city. But that isn't all. David looks out and sees the smoke of battle subside. And David knows the battle is over, and he wonders who's won the battle. The dust settles on the city of Jerusalem. And David wonders, is my boy alive? Am I still the king? Is the throne still mine? Is the scepter from my hand? Is the crown from my brow? Is it still mine? He looks up and he sees a messenger coming out. A runner. Didn't have newspapers and television sets and radios to find the news. He sees this runner coming out with a message. And he runs, and David says, ask him a question. He says, how's my boy? And he says, don't you want to know how the battle turned out? David said, no, sir, how's my boy? Well, don't you want to know if the throne is still yours? Not yet. How's my boy? Don't you want to know if the crown still is for your brow? Not yet. How's my boy? Don't you want to know if the scepter is for your hand and the robe is for your back? Not yet. How's my boy? Cushai, the second servant messenger, says, he's dead. David runs to himself and begins to cry, O Absalom, my son, O Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. But I'll tell you right there at that time, I can show you five psalms of praise that David wrote right there at that time. King tried to kill him. Fugitive 2 to 3 years. Son raped a daughter. Son killed a son. Son stole the hearts of his people. A son rebelled in warfare against him. Now the son is dead. David, won't you commit suicide? David said, think, oh, look, my record again. My sins are forgiven, blotted out, removed. I'm justified. He won't even record my sins against me. Jesus' record's on my record. Happiest man in all the Bible. He said, well, how's that? I'd be happy too if I didn't have all these problems. You can be happy in spite of those problems. That isn't all. Three years of famine came to his kingdom. That isn't all. Another revolution came by a man named Sheba. That isn't all. War with the Philistines came. And that isn't all. Saul gave him his daughter Michal. Boy, what Saul couldn't do with the javelin, he did with his daughter. And get this. The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen from the Jews. Taken over there to the Philistines. And I won't go to that story. What disease everybody got that had that Ark. The Ark of the Covenant, that was the symbol of blessing and power to Israel. And the day came when that Ark of the Covenant came back home. And David was happy. He had a Pentecostal Presbyterian hallelujah Lord of God spell. He is running around that ark, and up there in the window was Michal. She said, look at him, acting like a Pentecostal, acting like charismatic. Baptists got 10,000 times more to shout about than charismatics do. Look at him, acting like a charismatic. She says, you made a fool of yourself. You're the king, like some of you are saying right now about me. I don't care any more than David did. You're the king. There's the king. Look at the way you're acting. And old David kept on shouting. Kept on shouting.
David wasn't looking at Michael. He's looking at his record. He wasn't looking at Saul. When Saul tried to kill him, he was looking at his record. He wasn't looking at Absalom when he rebelled. He was looking at his record. And in spite of being attempted murder on his life 3 times, in spite of being a fugitive 2 to 3 years, in spite of his best friend being killed in battle, in spite of his son raping his daughter, in spite of a son killing a son, in spite of a son rebelling against him, in spite of the son taking the throne, in spite of the son being killed in battle, in spite of another rebellion, in spite of 3 years famine, and in spite of a Jezebel up in the palace, David said, well, praise God anyhow.
He was looking at his record. My sins are still forgiven. They're still blotted out. They're still erased and removed. I'm still justified. He still won't write my sins against my record. They're recorded against Jesus' record. And the righteousness of the Son of God Himself is recorded on my record. And that's why the old man gets happier every day. They judge my preaching here by how many microphones I kick down every Sunday. They'll walk up and say, that was a 3 microphone today. The night I was preaching for Randy Taylor, dedicating the new tabernacle, Joe Boyd Tabernacle. He had a good program planned. And just follow and beautiful dedication service. Had a bronze plaque of Joe Boyd and one of me are going to put there. Mine was prettier than Joe's, but not as big. But and had everything planned. And during the opening prayer, lightning struck as close as me in that front pew over there. Well, that's where how far it was when it struck. After it struck, it's about this as me over there and over there. And everybody was sad. Somebody looked over me and said, how are you going to preach tonight? I said, easy. My happiness doesn't depend on lights went out. Microphone went out. My happiness doesn't depend on lights or microphones. It depends on lightning. And I said to him, I said, you know, my sins just forgiven as they were when the lights were on. And my name is as much in heaven right now as it was when the lights were on. And do you know that I'm just as justified as I were, as I was when the lights were on? I'm trying to tell you, folks, everybody has reason to grasp this morning, and everybody has reason to praise. Remember the other morning I preached a sermon on Mara and Elam. Were you here? Mara was the place of bitterness. And Elam was the place of a tropical bliss, and they were 7 miles apart. Any Jew could walk it in 3 hours, and so every Jew had his right, could decide for himself whether he lived in Mara in bitterness or in Elam over here in tropical paradise. And everybody in this room has enough to where you can go to Mara and gripe, or you have enough blessing where you can go to Elam and praise God. Now, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just going to praise God. Come hell, come high water, come enemies, come battle, come criticism, come heartache, come heartbreak. Praise God, my sins are still forgiven. And brought out. And removed. And I'm justified. And God will not record my sins against me. And Jesus' perfect righteousness is recorded on my record in heaven. You visitors, you know why here in the middle of summertime this building has this kind of crowd? And you know why tonight we'll have more people in this room than we have this morning? And you know why thousands of people come here, and last Wednesday night probably 5,000 people here just to study the Bible together? Do you know why they come? Because I'm cute. No, sir. They come because there's an old man up here that still gets excited because his sins are forgiven and blotted out and removed, and he's justified. And God will not record his sins against him, but against his Son. And the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is on my record today. You can have the same thing. All I've done this morning is tell you how to get saved. God, this morning, I mean now, if you look to God and say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, and I deserve to go to hell, but I know Jesus Christ went to Calvary, the perfect Son of God, and he took my sins against his own record and paid the penalty for my sins and rose again after 72 hours. On that basis, I'm trusting him and not myself to take me to heaven. I'm not trusting that priest across the street, so-called priest of the Papa in Rome, or the ashes on my head, or my baptism, or my Lord's Supper. I'm trusting Jesus and him alone. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The minute you say that from your heart and mean it, that you're trusting Jesus to save you, that very minute every sin you've ever committed is forgiven. And that very minute every sin you ever committed is taken out of the book in heaven. Blotted out forever and ever and ever. And that very minute you're justified in the sight of God Almighty, just like you'd never sinned at all. And that very minute God will say, from this moment forward, I will not write one single sin against his record evermore, forevermore. And he'll say, I will put the record of Jesus Christ against your name. And you can walk out those doors today with every sin forgiven, every sin blotted out, every sin covered, justified as if you'd never sinned. And God will not ever again impute sin against your record. And you can be just as righteous in the sight of God Almighty as Jesus Christ himself. You say, what do? You get out of your seat and we stand. You come to the aisle that's nearest you. You come down that aisle to the front. If you're in the balcony, there's seven sets of stairs. Choose one of them. Come down to the main floor. Come down that aisle. There'll be a man at the end of every aisle, and that man will have someone show you more clearly how your record in the sight of God Almighty can be perfectly white. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Think, that can happen right now. And it will happen to many people in this room in the next 5 minutes. Our Heavenly Father, happiest man in the Bible, had more to be unhappy about, as we call unhappiness. I pray today that you help us, who are God's people, to realize the only window in the ark looked up to God and not down to the flood. Keep our eyes upon the record. Justified, sins forgiven, sins blotted out, covered, not recorded anymore. Jesus' righteousness recorded in his place. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.